Let's talk some footy. Are you surprised with an 8-match ban for Spencer Lynch?
Not really. This is what I expected, given that he entered that guilty plea beforehand. You know, he did show some contrition and remorse, but for me, the NRL, it was a line in the sand moment. They had to come down with the big suspension once they got all the facts on board to show that it's a big deterrent in the future, that this isn't going to happen again. And if you are a player who does this, you're going to cop a lengthy suspension. So to me, the interesting part is it's 8 weeks. If it was to be 7 weeks, he would come back to play the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium in round 9. Could you imagine the build-up to that and how explosive that would be? So I don't know if that factored in any way, but, you know, they've avoided that bombshell, if you will. But, yeah, that's what I did expect, the 8-week suspension. And I think upon the facts, it's justified as well.
Yeah, right. What about a Vegas wrap, Jacko? How'd you think it went? There weren't too many Americans, but I don't think we expected that. It seemed to be wonderful rugby league tourism in general.
Oh, definitely. I think inadvertently it was a great selling point for the game in Australia. I know we were supposed to sell it to the United States, but for like that 2 or 3 week period, just working in the sports media, that's all everyone was talking about on the streets of Brisbane. Even my family up in Townsville, people down in Sydney. So the publicity it generated, there were obviously going to be a few teething problems the first year. And I like the fact that they're going back for the next 4 years as part of that 5-year deal. So, and to watch it, I don't know about you guys watching it from home inside the stadium, it looked pretty good. And the players deserve some credit because both games that they tossed up were quite exciting for an American market, more defensive orientated for that Broncos Roosters game. But that Rabbitohs Manly game had a lot of tries. There was a bit of bloodshed. There was a few big hits. Reece Walsh with a shoulder charge. So I think it delivered everything that they expected it would have beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they got to be happy with that. And, you know, obviously they'll find a way to try and get it on free to air over there, even though Fox One, has supposedly 100 million potential viewers. And the amount of viewers was low, but yeah, steady, and they're committed for 5 years. So yeah, good on them.
Hey, I mean, Adam, any inkling of what they spent on it?
No, I'm probably the wrong person to talk about that. But yeah, the focus now for me turns to who's going next year.
Yes.
So you've heard the whispers of like Penrith's pretty much locked in from what we can hear. I was talking to the Dolphins, whose name's been mentioned. They kind of want a Queensland team to go once every 4 years to capture that tourism market. The hard part for the Dolphins is two of these teams have to sell a home game to go over there. So the NRL has to buy the home games, and the Dolphins home games, they make a lot of money at Suncorp Stadium. They're getting a big crowd. So that's the difficult decision for them. And also the Warriors have been tossed up to catch the New Zealand market, and then maybe a Storm or Raiders. So like they're the five teams that I've heard so far, but over the next months, we've been told that the NRL will make a decision so the teams can have more time to plan logistically where they're going to be based. And I think probably upon reflection, the Broncos would have gone to Vegas a bit earlier than what they did instead of being based in LA for so long.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's talk about the weekend, mate. Cowboys good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can talk about the Cowboys forever. I was calling the Queensland Cup game at Langlands Park, and then I saw the score, so I had to race to Suncorp Stadium and make sure I watched it. It's good to see them, finally play to their potential. Last year, we're so disappointed because you know they have the talent in the team, and they just didn't live up to the expectation based on the previous year getting towards the preliminary final up in Townsville. But my old mate, Kyle Fell, getting one try short of matching Matty Bowen's record. That's a sensation. He'll get the chance to do it against the Knights this weekend. Jeremiah and I, he was great. Reuben Cotter's always solid. And Tom Dearden, I really love the growth that Tom Dearden's shown. But on the opposite side of the coin, how disappointing were the Dolphins after all that preseason hype?
Yes.
Yeah, they were disappointing, and I think Benny's going to have to ring some changes this weekend. He's got a few options, obviously, in the halves and up front, but the big talk, I suppose, has been about the age of the forward pack. I mean, you take Gilbert away for the season, and you're talking four guys or so, over 30 years of age.
Oh, definitely. That was always going to be the problem there, Paddy. And Tommy Gilbert's just the heart and soul of that team, and it's even been disappointing to see at training, how sad the playing group is that Tommy Gilbert's not there with that long-term injury. And they've also got problems this week. So Connolly Lemuelu dislocated his kneecap. That'll be a long-term injury. Ray Stone suffered an HIA. That's another forward who's going to be out this week. Jared Wallace was 18th man. So you think Jay Wall will come in and they'll need another forward to go in. Also, Tessie New in the centres struggled against Zach Laybutt. He had a field day against him. You've got Jake Avarillo there. The Bulldogs recruit didn't play round one. He played Queensland Cup for North Devils. Scored a try in their upset win over Burley Bears. So maybe Avarillo comes back into the side this week. Depends how loyal Bennett wants to be. I talked to Jesse Bromwich, the Dolphins captain, after the game, and he said Wayne was quite firm. He said he wasn't angry, but he was very firm the way he talked to the playing group. So obviously trying to send a message early on there.
Possible overtraining, do you think? Adam, you've watched them do the physical stuff?
Not really. I just think the Cowboys are really good on a day service. They got the jump on them. And you go back to a lot of those Cowboys tries that were scored on fifth tackle. And again, in that conversation I had with Jesse Bromwich, he said the part he highlighted was so disappointing was their own fifth tackle options not being able to capitalise because they had a lot of good ball and then switching off to the back end of set. So a couple of those Cowboys tries were back-to-back tries, so which turns a six-point deficit into a 12-point deficit, which turns it into an 18-point snowball. So even though the scoreline blew out so much towards the end, if there's a few areas they knuckle down in, they save a few tries. One of them was with that hammer with that stupid kick where he tried to deflect it off Lukey and scored a try. So yeah, there's a few 1%ers, 2%ers, which they hone in on. So they've got the Dragons this weekend, Sunday afternoon, up at Redcliffe. So to me, that's a big test. If they lose that one, there's a few alarm bells ringing.
Mm. Hey, Bronx, I know Nine reporting last night that that Marty Tapaiu may be a victim of the Las Vegas loss.
Yeah, to be honest, I was surprised that he started in that Vegas game. Like, Corey Jensen's done everything wrong. He's probably the fittest player in the club, strongest player in the club. I think he deserved to start in round one. So I think that'll happen on Thursday night against the Rabbitohs. No real other changes for the Broncos. Adam Reynolds injured his knee a bit in that Vegas game, but he's told us he's good to go. And they've had that sort of, I think it's 11-day turnaround between games. But that's another interesting game too on Thursday night.
Yes.
Rabbitohs and Broncos. None of those teams want to be 0-2 at the start of the season, given that they've been kind of finals fancy. So, yeah. That's quite an exciting game. And the Rabbitohs still without Jack White, their star recruit, doesn't come back till round three. And the stats tell me too, the Rabbitohs have won their past four games at Suncorp Stadium. So they're not intimidated coming up here. Mm. So that's a huge test for the Broncos. Mm.
Did you think the Broncos' work rate was okay in Vegas?
I think it took them too long to get into the game, that first sort of 25 minutes, which was justifiable because Brendan Piakoura went down with that HIA and they had to reshuffle the forward pack. Yes. And then Paddy Carrigan moves to the edge. He's not as effective. He can't pump out the middle minutes he usually does. So the Broncos' loss was excusable based on the fact of that Piakoura HIA and the way it affected the interchange. So, but interesting to see, how they really bounce back because, you know, I honestly think for the Broncos this year, the four players have lost, Catewell, Flegler, Herbie Farnworth and Keenan Palacio. It will take a toll. A lot of Broncos fans just think they're going to roll up and get into the grand final again
this year.
Right. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than Broncos fans expect.
Hey, will Piakoura be right? What's the word?
Yeah, we've been told because it's now that minimum 11-day standout period, speaking to Kevin Walters, He's reacted better than expected. He was a bit ginger the day after the game, but they've done the continual testing protocol. So, yeah, expect him to be in the side on Thursday night. Expect him to be named this afternoon when the teams get released.
Hey, Jacko, just back to the Lenny thing. How's Ezra doing? I mean, have you checked on his welfare with the club?
Well, yeah, they said he obviously took it harsh, and they did that. One positive for the club yesterday, they had their Deadly Choices partnership announced and recommitted with Steve Renoff at Suncorp Stadium. And that's something that Ezra is heavily involved in. And I think it gets misconstrued a bit in this case of, like, I've seen reports on social media. So he had a 12-paragraph impact statement and 8 paragraphs got redacted because of obviously the personal nature of that. You know, people shouldn't think Ezra Mann didn't do anything wrong. All he did is stand up for his culture. So I don't like any criticism around that. He should be applauded the way he's behaved. You know, he's kept very quiet. I like the fact that he called it out on the field. So Ezra Mann's action there will change the game in the future for so many people. And, you know, he was obviously taking it hard. The only time I've seen him is at the airport when they return. He was a bit down, but the club's done a really good job of getting around him, having the support mechanisms in place there with the well-being officers. So, you know, I think he'll come out firing at Suncorp Stadium on Thursday night. Given that it's the best part is that this is all over now. It's over on the Monday night. The judiciary's done, and we can stop talking about it after today.
Yeah. Right. Well said, Jugger.
Yeah. Hey, just quickly, your Cows host the Knights on Saturday at Queensland Country. You know, Heels and I are claiming responsibility for Zach Labatt's incredible performance the other day, because we had him on the show and we got him pumped up. But, boy, wasn't he good. He's a mover, isn't he?
Well, I covered the Cowboys-Broncos trial in Mackay a few weeks ago, and I said to the Cowboys coaching staff, you know, who's impressed you in the preseason? They said Zach Labatt's had a really good preseason, and he'll be beneficial for Kyle Felt too, because we didn't really see it on this Sunday because he was carving up the Dolphins so much. He has a really good offload, so expect him to have a lot of try assists. I've seen him play in the Queensland Cup for the Townsville Blackhawks. And the Cowboys also had a player, Villami Valia, who they recruited from the Warriors. So it was essentially a two-way race between him and Zach Labor. And because Zach Labor performed so well, fitness, training in the off-season, he got that opportunity. It's so great to see a young kid take that opportunity with both hands as well.
Brilliant, Jacko. Always generous with your time, mate, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
No worries. Catch you, guys.
Now on Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Heels gets his gloves off.
Well, when I read yesterday that the Formula One Academy opened the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix with an all-female race, I thought, well, that's unusual for Saudi Arabia with their record with women. So I thought, all right, it's time I learn a little bit more about Saudi Arabia and what's happening in sport. It's a Middle Eastern kingdom. King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud is the king, and he's very popular, has been since 2017. So it's the 14th largest country in the world, 2 million square kilometres. Australia are the 7th at 7 million square kilometres. It has ocean frontages on two sides of its country, but it's mainly desert, a bit like Australia as well. 7 million population capital, Riyadh. 17% of the world's proven petroleum resources, first discovered in 1938. Natural gas, iron ore, gold, copper as well. Holy cities, Mecca and Medina. So it is an interesting place that way. There are religious police and strict separation of men and women. It has been curbed in 2016 that women have had no rights, and traditional discrimination probably been happening for hundreds of years. That's what the king is up against. So is this sports washing or diversifying its economy? That's what it's saying. They're getting ready for no oil and diversifying its economy so that they're able to survive. Second year of the Saudi Pro League in football. They spent $480 million first year. Didn't work. So maybe more will go into that this year. $1 billion to the PGA when a deal gets finalised in golf. Tourism ambassadors, extremely well paid. Messi, Ronaldo are two of them. Newcastle United they bought in 2021, or a share of it in 2021. And then cricket, horse racing, boxing, Formula One, tennis, wrestling. $1 billion offer to Mbappe as a player and an ambassador for the area. So the sports minister says, we're trying to soften our image. Amnesty International says promoting big personalities and events are just a distraction to the country's appalling human rights record. These are the discrepancies that they're up against, and things have to be worked out. Now, the public investment fund that owns Liv, was established in 1971, a long time ago. In 77, they invested in Williams Formula One, and then it became Saudi Al Williams. They win in 1980. In 1977, Brazilian soccer star started to play for Al Hilal. In 1989, they won the World Cup under-16 soccer. In the 90s, there's Asian soccer investments, Man United investments, Sheffield United investments. They've been involved in sport for a long, long time. But watch how it accelerates in the years 22, 23 and now. 2017, World WWE events. 2019, LIV Golf started. Tennis, women's golf in 20. 21, Formula One first race over there. They've now got two tracks. They're building. It's going to stay where it is till 27 before it transfers to Qiddiya. Two races is what they're after, not just using one of the two tracks. They want to use them both. So Aramco in 21 started a women's golf, which is very interesting. New York, London, Singapore and Jeddah in, very big purses for the women's game in that series. McLaren, they invested in 2021. First race in in Formula One, in their first race in 2021, there was a bombing 6 miles from the circuit. The race continued, even though the drivers were a little uneasy. Then it starts to accelerate. 22, they formed the Saudi women's soccer team. The Aston Martin and Aramco get together, a bid to host 2026 Asian Women's Cup that they finally won for the 2027 hosting rights. And that was in 23. In 23, they tried to sponsor the World Cup we had in Australia, but it was declined by the women's game. Women's Tennis Association, 20% they bought for $150 million. So it's right involved in tennis. Italian Serie A, Italian Super Cup played in Saudi Arabia as well. The PIF announced ownership of 4 pro soccer clubs. So they now own Al Hilal, Al Nasser, which Ronaldo plays for, Al Ittihad and Al Ahly. In 23, they've had mega boxing fights. In 24, this golf merger might happen or it might not, the merger between the PGA, the DP Tour and LIV. So they are right into it. However, the human rights record, executions are on the rise. 196 in 2020. The death penalty is still in operation. Its largest day is 81 in a day. Laws and practice still discriminate against women. There's been imprisonment and harassment claims when things are uncovered. Women can now drive. They don't have to have a male guardian all the time due to the campaigning of certain individuals who then became harassed. So no free speech, no LGBTIQ rights, and travel bans are still in place. So they're not treating their own people as well as they'd like, but it is improving. So sport is accepting a lot of great facilities and money. Can they contract Saudi Arabia to see improvements in citizen rights, I wonder? It's not any of their business, but improvements in lifestyles are just maybe a good place to start, because that's what they're saying, improving the lifestyles of their citizens and softening their image. So current improvements, just as basic as they are. So let's see how it goes. But Saudi Arabia, very interesting and engaged in sport.
We're back and we're powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Let's get a sport update with Jacko.
Good morning, Paddy. Good morning, Heels. I thought off the back of Heels' expose on Saudi Arabia in sport, we might start back in Saudi Arabia with the F1 Academy race that you touched on. So it's the F1 Academy is an all-female series aimed at trying to get women into a Formula One seat eventually. And they had the first round of their championship in Saudi Arabia on the weekend. Mm. And a French lady by the name of Dorian Pin won the race. She was first across the line. Unfortunately for Dorian, she was so in the zone that she didn't see the checkered flag and she had a malfunction with her radio. So she drove the cool down lap at full speed and the organisers of the event disqualified her.
Yeah.
For being unsafe on the cool down lap.
I wonder if the organisers of the event were females too.
Interesting. I'd have to go and do a little bit more digging.
Murray's talking about the crowds that are disgraceful still in Saudi Arabia sport, but and there is this male guardianship. Not everyone these days has to have a male guardian. Mm. I wonder if they go to the soccer. They'd go to the football, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Like with their guardian, maybe.
It was interesting. Someone was it was a Ronaldo match for Al Nassr, and someone was pointing out on Twitter the size of the crowd was very small, and then someone also posted on Twitter next to it as like still 36 degrees at night. So that might be behind the poor crowd figures in Saudi Arabia as well. Very inhospitable climate. Let's get over into the world of basketball, where the Tassie Jack Jumpers, they have forced a game three of their NBL playoff series against the Perth Wildcats. They won 102-94 against the Wildcats in game two. They'll head over to Perth tomorrow night to face the Wildcats in game three for a spot in the grand final series. And Melbourne United also tomorrow night will face the Illawarra Hawks in game three of that series. So the NBL grand final still up for grabs for all four of those teams. Delhi M voting is in the spotlight at the moment after the Hammer received a single vote in the Delhi M votes after, well, what could be considered one of his more lackluster games in the Dolphins jersey, and it's putting increased pressure on the NRL to name who the Delhi M voters are. Graham Annesley, in his weekly press conference where he goes over rules interpretations and issues from the game, said that the NRL won't be making the names of the voters public, but it's certainly interesting. What are your boys' thoughts on it?
Well, they don't seem right, those ones. So you mean anonymity?
Yeah, anonymity on the voters.
How many voters are there?
I always thought we knew who was voting for them.
It's a panel of ex-players.
At that particular game.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. They're obviously keeping it anonymous for a reason. But, yeah, the couple of instances that we've seen, obviously Adam Reynolds getting points before Joey Manu is mysterious, to say the least.
Yep.
And, yeah, it wasn't the Hammers' best game.
Mm.
So, yeah, what are we, 34 players? I think it was hard to find a point for the Hammer out there.
Yep. You came up with a few errors. So it'll be interesting to see the Delhi M votes going forward and, whether we see any of these outlier
results. Would you want to do it?
Results.
Can they find people that want to do it without anonymity?
That would be
knowing
would be
the social backlash and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't do it.
I think it would create a lot of good discussion around the game because a lot of these former players are media personalities where they've got an open mic and they've got a front up to the votes that they've given, especially something like the Hammer getting a vote.
There's no way they're doing that.
It'd be interesting.
If they're media types, they will.
Mm.
But if they're not media types, they're not going to enter into that.
It is a hard one. And finally, for me, the passing of Duncan Fernley, the famous English bat maker. Well, they were all the rage in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Host of big names, Viv Richards, Ian Botham, Alan Border had a Duncan Fernley.
Yes.
They were the biggest brand in bats. So sad to hear the passing of Duncan.
Yeah, very sad. At 83. We spent quite a bit of time with Duncan because through Tom Moody's affinity with them as well, with Duncan at Worcester, Alan Border, Ian Botham, as you say, Duncan was all around that Worcester game. We used to play Worcester every time.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you. It's getting very close to 7:53, which means we're going to take a break. If you're looking for height, hire it right. Visit heightforhire.com.au.